Hello, welcome to Game Changer. Monday through Friday, David Villa and our crew dive into God's Word and talk about how to take principles from the Bible and apply them to our daily lives. Thanks so much for listening, and here's our host.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Hola.
Ears are not working. All right, so welcome to Game Changer. I'm David Villa, and I'm here with Ashton. It's Friday, day five, final day of Masked, right? Today, we're going to talk about, we're going to call it unmask. There you go, one ear. We're going to cut, they're both ears. Yeah, they go boom, boom, one at a time. They popped in left and right. Left foot before the right foot. We're going to talk about unmask. And we actually have some points yesterday that did not get covered. Girl power, they just brought in so much anointing that they added some things as well. It was a great show yesterday, but I know we didn't cover some of the points. I want to go the unmasked direction, but I want to see the points and see if we can cover a couple of them just to give you guys maybe a little bit of practical takeaway. So we didn't go over any of those?
No.
Let's give them to you. You know what? Let's do those at the end.
Okay.
We'll do those at the end because these would be some practical things that we can take away. But I wanted to go, and I know Ashton has something to share too at the end. So this is going to be just a really good last day of this segment, you know, last day of this topic. So so you won't remember that Ashton doesn't know this. She's only 21. Are you 21 yet? No, not yet.
November.
Almost. November 22nd.
I wish you knew my birthday. Matthias the other day didn't.
Oh.
Mike was there.
Dang, Matthias.
Wait, why are you putting me on the spot?
So you guys, none of you would heard of this, but none of you have know this or watched this because it was even before my time per se, but as a kid it was still on, but it was The Lone Ranger. You guys heard of The Lone Ranger?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys know who it is. And his sidekick, Tonto, right? Tonto was Native American. Lone Ranger was a cowboy. But here's the reason I'm bringing him up. He was known as the mask cowboy, whatever. You know, he had a mask on, and there was a phrase. And so, anyway, the whole deal is these guys were partners, and they would fight against evil in the Old West. And at the end of their good deed, they always do like a good deed. They'd ride off into the sunset, and the people left behind would ask this question every time. They go standing like this. They'd be standing there going, wow. And they look at each other and go, who was that masked man? Who was that masked man? Like he would always do something good. He would be the hero. But they just were like touched by his life. And they would say, who was that masked man? And I think the question, you know, has resurfaced a lot over the last 18 months. You know, we talked about masks because, you know, As the prevalence of masks in many, many places means that we're not always exactly who's there. Diane and I, our pastor, not the lead pastor, Pastor Aaron, but our campus and Brandon pastor, June, his wife, Elizabeth. I remember my wife and I last year were in, I think, Target. We were walking and this, you know, everybody's wearing masks and everything. And Pastor Elizabeth walked by and she had a mask on and she said, hi. And we went, hi. And we did not know who it was because she had a mask on and we couldn't tell. It was before we started going to the Brandon campus, and so we took us a minute, and we're like, who was that? We obviously know them, and they know us, so I think that's happened a lot, right? You know, over this last season, this last year, you know, we look, and we're not really sure, because who's behind the mask? And putting aside the controversy, right, and the differences of opinions on masks, that's not what this is about. At the very least, I think we all can agree that they have a way of hiding at least part of our identity.
Mm.
And so we're not fully known when we're wearing the mask, right? People can't see our full face. They can't see whether we're smiling or frowning, right? There's something missing. And so, you know, as we read the accounts in the gospel of Jesus' life, and this is really what I want to talk about unmasked today, and I think this is going to really go a good direction. I think it's going to minister to some people. One of the big questions that we've seen surface in the gospel over and over, and it's amazing as I started studying this that I never really saw it this way. Everybody asked the question, who was and who is that masked man? They asked that question about Jesus. They wondered who he was. They didn't really know. He came on the scene. You know, he started performing miracles. People knew that he was dynamic. They felt something around him, but they really didn't know who he was. He came on the scene, and that wasn't the way that they assumed the Messiah would come on the scene, right?
Yeah.
Even the Orthodox Jewish people and the Jewish religion, they still today are waiting on their Messiah because he has to come a certain way. But the way he came wasn't the way that they were expecting. So when he came on the scene, people didn't know who he was. And so as we read the miracles that Jesus performed, there's something different and unique about Jesus, right? In his ability to heal, give sight to the blind, cast out demons. Matter of fact, people that were trying to figure him out, you might remember this in the Bible, they even said that you're actually doing this as a demon-possessed person. But Jesus responded back to them and said, you know, how could someone demon-possessed, or why would someone demon-possessed be fighting against other demons, yeah. You know? But they didn't know who he was. And so I want to just get this one story out and then turn it over, and we can comment on it and talk about it. So when Jesus taught, and especially when he taught in the ways that, you know, completely silenced Pharisees, he left listeners in a state of amazement, you know? And we know why, but they didn't know why at first. And so they wondered who he was. Who is this man that speaks with such authority? The Pharisees would come back and say, who are you to say this? Who are you? Remember when he healed the man that came and lowered through the roof, he said, your sins are forgiven you. And they said, who are you to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. He said, well, is it easier for me to say that or say you're healed? And then he said, go ahead, you're healed. Go and sin no more. And, you know, all of these things, we just watch him unfold. As he was really masked. He was masked because they didn't know who he was. They could see that there was something about him, something special, but it was like he had a mask on. And so they could only see so much, and the rest was a mystery. And they would say, who is this masked man? And so we were in Israel. Ashton, remember this. And I never forget this. It's always been one of my favorite passages. But we went to the place where Caesarea Philippi, and it was the place where Jesus took his disciples, and we were there. I love this story before, but I really love it now, because we were able to see in the side of the mountains two different gods for two different people had carved out. They went and worshiped their gods in this place. So it was a pagan place. And Jesus took them there. It was in the northern part of the country above the Sea of Galilee, and it was a site of ancient pagan shrines dedicated to the worship of the Greek god Pan right there. That's what was going on right there. So a god of nature in many aspects of nature. Jesus took them there in that spot, and it's there. In the evidence of all the paganisms all around them, Jesus had this conversation about his identity. Remember, he has a mask on still, right, in reality, because he didn't come out and say it. He's living it. And so he asked them, who do men say that I am? You remember that?
Yeah.
He said, who does everybody say that I am? And then the first report, people said, you know, you're Elijah, you're John the Baptist. Some say, you know, you're a prophet. Even Matthew comes out and says, some say you're Jeremiah in his account. And then Jesus looked at them and he said, well, who do you say that I am? And this is what I want to get to today. And we're going to unmask Jesus, right? He said, who do you say that I am? And you notice here, Peter said, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So everybody else gave attempts on trying to figure out Jesus' identity. They all took stabs at it. They're like, who is this guy? He's like John the Baptist. He's like Elijah. Oh, you know, he's Jeremiah, you know, coming back. But nobody would dare say he was the Messiah. But there's Peter, who spent time with him. And Jesus put his disciples on the spot, the ones who have accompanied him and spent time with him, who've been around him, and they've seen him up close. And he says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And now the mask begins to come off, right? Peter, who's impulsive, the first to jump on things, said, you're the Messiah, which means Christ in the Greek, right? He said, and it's not a name, by the way. It's not Jesus' last name. It's a title. He's the Messiah, the one who's promised. And Peter says this. And I love that, right? Right there, the mask comes off, and Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't give that revelation to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he changed his name, and right there, the mask came off.
Yeah, and I mean, and you have to understand, you know, in this, he's asking in the middle of all these pagan gods. So, the disciples even going there at that time would have been probably a little like, why are you taking us here, Jesus? Like, what are you doing? Like, we're in the middle of all these places, this place where pagan gods are worshipped. And actually, even there, that time, our tour guide actually told us that some of those pagan people to worship their gods would throw babies off of cliffs. Like, that's how demonic and just dark this place was. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is bringing the disciples in the middle of the darkness, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of this the most worldly thing you can think of. he's bringing him in the middle of that and saying, who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? So, hey, who do these people around you, not even just people, but the people literally probably right next to you, who do they say that I am? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, who do you say that I am? And so when Peter did this, you know, the Lord obviously used, you could see many accounts of, you know, the Lord using Peter in the Bible. But even more important, I think it's a picture of our recognition of who God is. You know, it's in the middle of our mess. It's in the middle of our chaos that Jesus was unashamed, number one, and he had this audacity in a sense. And it's not the audacity like, did you just have the audacity to say that rude thing? It's not like that. But he had this audacity and this boldness to just proclaim and have Peter and have the disciples proclaim who he was in the middle of the darkness. And so maybe the darkness you've been facing, you know, I would encourage you to just begin to look at the darkness and you look at your situation, look at your chaos and say, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And like speak the name of Jesus in that situation. That's why it's important and that's why it's powerful. Why? Because we believe at the sound of Jesus' name that demons flee. They tremble at the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
So when you begin to invite him in your situation and you begin to not just say Jesus, but like actually truly resting on the fact that Jesus, I believe that you're Lord. Jesus, I know that you have my situation in the palm of your hand. Jesus, I know you've never left me. I just speak the name of Jesus. And I just, you know, I don't know what maybe situations you're going through, but any chaos, any darkness, anything that you're facing, we can actually call upon his name. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I think we look at that and it's not only salvation. You know, something our pastor says a lot and it's super, you know, super key. It's, you know, salvation is saying yes to Jesus one time, but living a life that says yes is a different thing. It's a different thing when you say yes one time and you get saved, right? You come to know Jesus, you're saved, yay. But having a relationship with Jesus, it looks totally different. It's saying yes to him daily. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not saying yes to him daily in your situation and inviting him in your situation, you know, you're missing out, honestly, on access that we have. And we've talked about access in the past before, but you're missing out on access that we have to our God. It's not just a salvation thing. Mm-hmm. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in our time of need, I think, in our time of despair, in our time that we need comfort, whatever the case may be, when we call upon his name, we're saved.
Yeah. Amen.
It's important.
Amen. You know, and as we spend time with Jesus, this is the thing about, you know, I want to kind of dive into why Peter said this. You know, how did he know? In the Bible, and Jesus answers that question, and it's not a mystery. He says that flesh and blood, or man, didn't give that to you. Like, it's not somebody didn't whisper to him and go, hey, I bet that's the Messiah. Flesh and blood didn't give it to him. He said, but you got that revelation directly from the Father. But here's the thing. How did he get it? It's not like God, it's not like God went, he's the Messiah. It's not like he did that, you know? At the same time, Peter got that revelation from the Father by spending time around the Son. You got to get that. I got to say that again. Peter got that revelation from the Father by spending time around the Son. And you go, well, what does that mean? Like, I mean, because they're three in one. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He spent so much time with Jesus, and Jesus did everything he did through the Father, by the Father, because of the Father, for the Father. Only my will is to do the will of the Father, he said. So he was so in tune with God that Peter spent so much time with Jesus that the revelation of who Jesus is came from the Father to Peter. And so as we spend time with Jesus, can I just say this? He reveals himself to us more and more each day.
Yeah.
His true identity cannot be hidden. It's funny, you know, I've always thought this. I don't know if you guys ever thought this or not. I mean, I know you guys have thought this. You know, Superman. It's like, I never understood why people couldn't figure out Clark Kent was Superman. It's like, really? He takes his glasses off. I mean, the guy's still ripped, you know?
It's like Hannah Montana for my generation.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I mean, she was Miley the whole time.
I mean, at least every other superhero had like a full costume change and you couldn't see their face. He was the only one.
He just went like this.
Wait, where'd Clark go?
Yeah. You know, look, he's still ripped up. I mean, he acted a little goofier and nerdier, right, obviously, and he wasn't wearing a blue suit. But the reality is, you know, and it was funny because if you watch those movies, and I know there's a gazillion of them, but if you go back and you watch them and you watch certain ones, you'll see that over time, Lois Lane begins to suspect something about Clark Kent. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because she's the one spending the most time with him. When he flies in and flies out, okay, maybe I can see that. But she spends time with him. And when you spend time with Jesus, his true identity cannot be hidden. It's evident who he is. The mask comes off. And it's not that he put a mask on to hide himself from you. You know, here's the thing. He's hidden from the world completely unless they call on him. What I mean by that is it's he's there the whole time. And he's there the whole time, but he's wanting to be found. He's put himself out there to be found, but he's not over there going, "Hey, come on, come on." What he's doing is he's drawing people. He's touching people. He's working in situations. And as the extension of him, right? Because we're the extension of the church. He said, greater things will we do. As we go out, we might be the only Jesus or the only Bible people see or read, meaning to initially bring them to him. And so as we do that and we're the hands and feet of Jesus, then all of a sudden we are placed in the right place at the right time around the right people for the right reasons in the right season. And then all of a sudden their eyes are open, right, to who he is. As you spend time around him, as his true identity can't be hidden. Look what he says in John 12:32. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me. But only when he's lifted up from the earth. When Jesus is lifted up, he'll draw everyone to him. What does that mean? It means that people, it's like a magnet. What does Jesus do? He saves. He does good. He heals. He touches. He mends. He restores. He doesn't do anything bad. All good things come from him. Nothing bad can come from him. So here's the deal. What does he do? He does all those good things. So who needs those good things? People that are broken, people that are hurt, people that are lonely, people that are separated from him, all of those things. So he said, as I'm lifted up from the earth, there's our call, Christians. There's what we do. As I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw like a magnet people to myself. And by the way, they're going to be drawn to you. They're going to be drawn to the Jesus in you. They're going to be drawn to the church that's alive in this world today. Can I say it this way? The world wants to know who Jesus is, and we have the answers. We have the answers. You know, I put down here, Ash, in the notes there, take time to talk about how the disciples spent time with Jesus, witnessed miracles, give examples, because how did Peter know this? It's just not that one story. That's when it manifested. But I mean, he had spent time with him. And look at all the miracles that the disciples witnessed. Look at all the things that they witnessed. Look at the feeding of the 5,000. Look at everything that they did and how they spent time with Jesus and everything that happened. When they spent so much time with him, it was then that they got that revelation, or Peter got that revelation, and they began to walk in it, and the mask came off.
Mm-hmm. And I think even ultimately, you know, I think that you just said something super key. Ultimately, it really isn't that, you know, Jesus is masked from us. I think that's the thing that we don't want you to hear. We don't want you to hear that Jesus is hiding himself. Like, right. He's like, don't find me. You know, he's a God that pursues us and pursues people, and it's amazing and it's incredible. But I think ultimately, what it means is that we have scales over our eyes. We have masks over our eyes that aren't, you know, seeking to reveal. I was trying to find the verse on my phone. That's what I was doing on my phone a second ago, if you saw. But it was basically talking about, like, people that lack knowledge. It's not because they see in part because they know in part. Like, they don't have the opportunity to, I'm paraphrasing the verse. I can't fully remember what it says. That's why I was trying to research it. But basically it's the concept of, like, we have no knowledge. We lack knowledge because we're not pursuing knowledge in a way. And I think that's the same thing with God. It's not that he's not revealing himself and Jesus isn't revealing himself. You know, the veil was torn. Like, there is no separation from us and God, and God's not hiding himself from us. And we have full access, and we can come to Jesus as we are, you know, with the good, the bad, the ugly. We can come to him as we are today. But it's essential that we also recognize that, you know, there is a pursuit that he is doing But are we going to grasp onto that? Are we going to hold on to that? Just like the disciples did, like you were talking about. You know, I think their lives showed so many of those things that, you know, the great things that God did through them. Why? Not because God gave them these incredible gifts, but because God gave them these incredible gifts and they used them for his glory and they drew close to him. And they, it's, you know, we can have gifts and God gives people that even are, you know, not saved. They have gifts, they have talents and that God placed in them, whether they recognize that or not. And they can either begin to use, you know, we can use our gifts for God's kingdom and submit them to God, or we can operate in our own strength and not do that. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that, you know, we begin to operate inviting the Holy Spirit. And if you scroll up a little bit, Mike, Dumasani said a comment earlier that was so good. It was saying, it's the question right there. It's the question Jesus can, can we ask Jesus in the difficult time? You know, going back to that story of where he's in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the darkness. It's the question Jesus can ask you when you're going through a difficult time, who do you say that I am? Like in the middle of the darkness, is it, you know, are you asking that question? Are you actually reminding your soul who he is? Are you actually allowing, you know, Jesus, I think, is asking us like, hey, are you going to trust me? Mm-hmm. Are you going to, in this middle of this darkness, in the middle of this chaos? And I believe he did it to the disciples multiple times. You know, when Peter, after Jesus died and Peter went back to fishing, what did he do? He called him back. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, you know, give up on him when he went back to the things that he once did. And so I think that's a bold question to even allow God to, Jesus is asking us that in our chaos, in our darkness. And are we, you know, what's our answer to that? I think living a life that answers that question too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want Ashton to read some notes here in a minute as we're going to wrap up in a few minutes. But I wanted to point out one other thing here too, and read a scripture, but scroll up a little bit more, Mike, right about there. Yeah. And, you know, 6 days later, it's actually 6 days. We call it like the transfiguration, you know. So after this situation happened where Peter said that and Jesus, you know, confirmed it, now everybody heard it and everybody knew and the disciples were there. You know, Peter wrote something years later in Peter 1:16. I'm sorry, 2 Peter 1:16-18. But before that, I want to just point out in that transfiguration, that time 6 days later, he took them to a mountain, and it was about a 6 day journey. It literally was 6 days later, and they saw him in his glory. I mean, they described, for instance, like the how you know in the Gospels that he was majestic, his clothing was bright and shiny. But in 2 Peter 1:16-18, this is Peter kind of recounting Jesus unmasked. He said, "We did not follow," and he was talking about his colleagues, the disciples. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming out. I'm sorry, and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He said, "For he received honor and glory from God and the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying." So in that 6 day period after Peter had that revelation, when Jesus revealed himself, there was just like when he came out of the river, baptized and the Holy Spirit and God spoke, he did it again here. And, you know, he said, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And he said, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." So basically what Peter's saying is like, look, we're not telling stories that we heard. This is something that we saw. This is something that we witnessed. And they witnessed the mask coming off. They witnessed the confirmation of Jesus being crowned, being deemed, being stamped the Messiah. And so, you know, the mask is off and they've seen very clearly Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the one whose glory is blinding in how they described it and about whom God speaks very clearly that who Jesus is, and they see him that way. Yeah. And just as Jesus was fully revealed, and as we kind of wrap this up, we're going to speak to you and at your heart, and you can, I know Ashton has some comments that I want her to read and kind of wrap it up. But just as Jesus was fully revealed to his disciples, can I just say this? Can we also be instrumental in revealing the fullness of Jesus to a world that needs him, that needs to see him now more than ever? And can I just say this? Maybe you need him. Maybe you need to maybe you need to be touched by him today. And we want to be an example. We want to be an instrument used by him even this morning. Amen. And I hope you've enjoyed this series, but Ash, go ahead and
Yeah, and he's been revealed to you. I think that's key too. He's been revealed to you because that happened in the throughout the Bible. He was revealed. He's been revealed to you.
I know you're going to read the comments.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I thought that'd
read
be,
that. Sorry.
I thought those would be some good ones because they're more ministry driven.
Yeah. So my mom actually texted me this morning, and it was something that you know I've been dwelling upon since she sent it. She said, "Even at my worst." You loved me at our ugliest, at our dirtiest, at our meanest, brokenness, bitterness, shame, hurt, anger, doubt, and fear. He loves us. When we unmask, recognizing that we don't have to have it all under control, but we have a God that says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we can still come as we are. And though no matter what we walk through, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil because he is with us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in us. He that is in the world. And so it's important. Maybe, you know, you've had a hard time, you know, as we talked about yesterday. I think this is important to remember that because Jesus is fully revealed to us, right? That's great
Jay-Z
moment.
When he got saved.
That's funny. Because Jesus is fully revealed to us, we have the opportunity to come in vulnerability and be unmasked. And I think you brought this up at the beginning of the week, but just something that I've you know, just been thinking through as we talked about the series, was the concept of in Genesis 1, right? Mm-hmm. Where they were naked and unashamed, which, and not to be weird, but naked and unashamed means that they were probably in a vulnerable state, right? They're in a very revealed, vulnerable state. And the moment, you know, they sinned, the moment they fell short, they hid from God, they clothed themselves in leaves, which they clothed themselves in the world, right? And I think so often we do that. And I just would encourage you today to, as Jesus is fully revealed to us, you know, reveal yourself to Jesus. Reveal your heart. You know, begin to be vulnerable and ask, Lord, if there's any way in me that isn't clean. Lord, I'm coming back to you. Like, maybe I haven't, you know, spent time with you. Maybe I've been running in shame. I've been hiding. He's not angry with you. He's not angry with you. He wants his child to come home. And so come home today. If you haven't, you know, maybe you haven't encountered Jesus as your Lord and Savior, run to the Father today. His arms are open wide. And we can begin to just rest in his embrace.
Amen.
So, Mike, take it away.
Hey, real quick. Okay. I wasn't going to do this, but I just want to really quick, you know, if anybody needs salvation, or maybe you want to come home, we want to give this actual opportunity. Sometimes I think, you know, we have not because we ask not. And I think that sometimes, you know, Ashton just said it, you know, come home today. I believe that was an appeal and I believe that touched somebody, but I want to give the actionable step here. So just in your heart, you know, wherever you are, you may be at work, you may be in a car, you may be driving, whatever, you can do it out loud, whatever. Just repeat these words in your heart. And I promise you this, you confess Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart, you'll be saved. So after you confess this, believe it in your heart, you can say it out loud, find somebody. Anybody, one person that you know as a believer, and just tell them, confess it, say, hey, listen, I receive Jesus as my Savior. But I want you to repeat this.
Find a church.
Find a church. But I mean, I'm talking about salvation here. Just, you know, mm-hmm. find somebody that's a believer and just say, I believe that, you know, I just received this and, you know, receive Jesus. But repeat this in your heart or after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask you for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. Amen. We're going to post that also on Facebook and in YouTube. So if you're listening or watching, you can go and you can read that back. But make sure you just tell somebody if you prayed that prayer that is a believer, just so you can, somebody can have some accountability there and help
walk
you the
you
next
through
step.
Next steps, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you all for tuning in this week. We hope you guys have enjoyed this series. I know I have. We all have. This has been a lot of fun for all of us. So definitely let us know what you guys think. If you guys would like, we have a daily encouragement text that goes out every morning from Dave. You guys can opt into it. It's completely free. You can text the letters EZGC to 813-522-3356. To everybody who joins us live every single morning, we appreciate you guys always being here with us. But if for any odd reason you can't make the live streams, you guys can always catch up with us in two different ways. You can find us on YouTube. Search Game Changer Live Podcast on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button and make sure you hit the bell that you get notified when we upload the episode every single day. Also, if you guys want the audio version of this, we are available on all podcasting platforms that are out there. Pretty much everyone in existence, we're on it. If you guys would like, though, the biggest ones that we do push is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you subscribe to us, on whichever one you guys like to use. If you're watching this on YouTube replay or you're listening to this on any of the audio versions and you want to join us live, you can join us live every single morning at 8:30 a.m. EST on Facebook and YouTube. If you just search Game Changer Podcast Live, we will come right up in your feed. Make sure you guys check out the featured Bible plan of the week. God Said. It's a 6-day reading plan on YouVersion and the Bible app. Read it, subscribe to it, let us know what you think, leave a comment for us. But thank you all for listening. We hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you bright and early, because next week, Ash, if I remember right, it's The Scary Truth is next week's episode.
Yes, sir.
We start The Scary Truth on Monday morning, so make sure you guys tune in. We will see you guys there. Have a wonderful weekend. And on that note,
we out.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast and you want to connect further, check out the David Villa's Game Changer group on Facebook. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Game Changer.